Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of PastorStudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor Study. Our question for today is, can you know for sure now where you will go when you die? Some people think it's arrogant to say, I know for sure I'm going to heaven. And they'll say, you can't know that till you die, then you find out. And it's arrogant to think you know you're good enough for heaven. Well, what does the Bible teach on this? Today we're going to look at my favorite Bible verse. This is the verse that changed my life when I was 20 years old. Would you take out your Bible, turn with me to 1 John, way back by the end of the Bible, not the Gospel of John, but the first letter of John, chapter 5. We're going to look at verse 13. This is an important subject, how to make sure you know where you're going when you die. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we would pray that your Holy Spirit would be our teacher now. For those that are watching the show and they don't know where they're going for eternity, that you will teach them, Lord. And speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13 is so important, I want to go through it word by word. 1 John 5, 13. Let me read the whole verse, then go back. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, in order that you may know that you have eternal life. Would you memorize that with me? Would you say these words after me? I write this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Could you say that out loud with me, the whole thing? I write this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Let's go word by word. I. Who's the I? Who's writing this verse? It's John the Apostle. That's early church tradition. That the one of the 12 was John. He was one of the inner three, Peter, James, and John. He's the one who leaned on Jesus' chest during the Last Supper. So John is writing this. I write this to you. Who's the you? Who is the audience for 1 John? And probably it's churches in ancient Asia Minor. John is writing this letter about 85 AD. It's called Turkey today, modern-day Turkey. But there were Christian churches in Asia Minor, and that's probably who he's writing to. I write this to you, next words, who believe in the name of the Son of God. Here's our first lesson for today. You must believe in Christ, not about Christ, to be saved. Lots of people believe about Christ. The devil believes that Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead. Believing about Christ, believing that he's up there, doesn't save anybody. You have to believe in Christ to be saved. Let me explain. I had a professor at college who was an excellent preacher, and in between Thursday and Tuesday, when we had class, he'd be flying all over the world. He sent his elderly father a plane ticket from Minneapolis to Los Angeles. Dad, please come out and visit me. Our professor said his dad sent the ticket back. Thank you, son, but I don't know if I believe in those airplanes. I'll just stay here safely. The son sent the ticket back. Dad, it's safer to fly a plane than to drive a car. Come visit me in Minneapolis. And our professor said for the first time in his life, his dad walked up the ramp, got into an airplane, flew to Minneapolis, flew safely back to Los Angeles. And the professor made this point. Before that day, my dad believed all about airplanes. He knew they were out there, they went up and come down. But for the first time in his life, he believed in an airplane. He put his trust in an airplane. He actually gave his life into the hands of an airplane. That's what we mean in believe in Jesus and you will be saved. It means I don't just believe he's out there. I get on the plane. Lord Jesus, I trust my life into your hands. I trust your death on the cross to save me, to bring me the forgiveness of sins. I'm not just believing about you. I'm putting my trust in you to save me. 1 John 5:13, I write this to you who believe in, next words, the name of the Son of God. Here's the next lesson. Faith in the Son of God is necessary for salvation. You have to believe in Christ to be saved. So a couple winters ago, it's a very snowy day, big snowstorm. I get in my car Sunday morning and I drive to my conservative, biblical Lutheran church for service. They were closed. Nobody in the parking lot. They were snowed out. I turn my car around. I'm going home and I pass a very liberal Lutheran church. There's cars in the parking lot. They're open. So I thought, okay, I'll try this. I went and I sat down. The pastor preached on Romans 10, verse 9. If you confess with your lips Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And the preacher said, but what if you don't confess with your lips Jesus is Lord? And what if you don't believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead? Does that mean you won't be saved? And the preacher said, not necessarily. And I felt like screaming, yes, necessarily. And I left the service early. Listen, you, according to this verse, 1 John 5:13, you have to believe in Christ to be saved. And why is that? Because he's the only one who can save you. Have you ever heard this story? A man is walking through the forest. He falls into a deep pit. He's laying at the bottom of the pit, broken bones. He looks up. Help! He starts crying. Buddha walks into the forest, hears the man's cries. Buddha looks down. If you will work yourself up two-thirds of the way, I'll pull you up the last third. But the man couldn't move. Buddha walked on. That's called Buddhism. Muhammad walks into the forest. Hears the man's cries, looks down. Muhammad lifts his nose. It must be fate, the will of Allah. And he walks on. That's called Islam. Confucius walks into the forest, hears the man's cries, looks down. Oh, foolish fellow, you fall into pit? I give you wise Confucian proverb. If ever in forest again, do not fall into pit. He walked on. That's Confucianism. And then Jesus walked into the forest. He heard the man's cries. Jesus looks down. Jesus gets on all fours, and Jesus climbs to the bottom of the pit. Jesus puts the broken man on his shoulders. Jesus climbs back up to the top of the pit. Jesus gets cut and wounded in the process, and Jesus puts the man safely into the sunlight. That is Christianity. And the reason you have to believe in Christ to be saved is he's the only one who can save you. I, John, write to you in Asia Minor that you must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, next words, that you may know. Here's the next lesson. You can know for sure if you're going to heaven. And that's not arrogant, because it doesn't depend on you and how good you are, because you'll never be good enough. It depends on Jesus on the cross. So he gets all the credit. So I'm not being proud. I'm being humble, giving him the credit for it. Let me explain to you how this verse changed my life. I was 20 years old, leading a Bible study at college. After the Bible study, this young woman named Pam says, Tom, can I talk to you privately? I said, yeah. Well, Tom, are you sure you're saved? And I was offended. I said, I think I'm saved. No, are you sure? And I said, yes. And I remember she left, and I'm sitting there thinking, did I just lie? Because I don't think I was sure at that point. During that time period, somebody explained to me the truth of 1 John 5:13. I write this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. Tom, do you believe in the Son of God? Oh, yes, I do. Did he die for your rules? I do believe that. And then this person said, look at the next part of the verse. In order that you may hope maybe you've got eternal life? No. What does it say? That you may know that you have eternal life. And Tom, who wrote the Bible? Well, God wrote the Bible. Can God lie? No. So as long as you believe in the name of the Son of God, what can you know for sure you've got from then on? That's when the light bulb went on for me. Eternal life. Ever since I'm 20 years old, I know I'm saved. I know if I died now, I'd go to heaven. And it's not because of me, it's because of him. You know, and there are days I have my doubts. I wonder, because of my sinfulness, am I really forgiven? Am I really going to heaven? But I fight my doubts with verses like 1 John 5:13, verses like 1 John 1:9, if we confess, he forgives, verses like Ephesians 1, the blood of Christ brings us the forgiveness of our sins. And if I have doubts, I fight them by taking communion, going to church, getting in fellowship, prayer. But nevertheless, doubts and all, I have known for sure that I'm saved ever since I was 20 years old because of this verse. And I remember once visiting an elderly lady. I think she was on her deathbed at the hospital. And a Christian lady, I think. I said, "Well, Mrs. So-and-so, if you don't make it, are you sure you're going to heaven?" "Well, I hope so, Pastor." I said, "Well, the Bible says you can know so. But let me ask you, if you died and God said, why should I let you into heaven, what would you say?" "Oh, Pastor, I hope I've been good enough." And I explained to her, "You haven't, neither have I. You can't be good enough. We deserve hell. And it's only by Christ's death on the cross, by the grace of God, that we'll be saved." And you know what she said? "Oh, that's right. That's right. That's what I meant." And you know, only God knows how to judge people like that. But I don't want you to be confused like that. If you're watching this program, you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for the, not about, you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, you can know for sure you are saved. Next words, "I write this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God that you may know that you have," next words, "eternal life." And here's the next lesson. Everybody has eternal life. You'll either spend eternal life in heaven, or you'll spend eternal life in hell, but everybody has eternal life. In this verse, they're talking about eternal life in heaven. I've shared this before on the program, but let me do it again. The Chicago newspaper asks Elizabeth Eaton, the head bishop of the very liberal Evangelical Lutheran Church in America that my church and I used to be part of till we left many years ago. The Chicago newspaper, "Bishop Eaton, is there a hell?" Her response, "There may be, but I think it's empty." Well, listen, don't listen to that bishop. Jesus said there's a heaven and a hell. Jesus said there are people in hell weeping and gnashing their teeth. Listen, we've got liberal pastors and liberal bishops today saying everybody goes to heaven, not according to 1 John 5:13 and the rest of the Bible. When I was a kid in Omaha growing up in my Lutheran church, we didn't have air conditioning in my church in Omaha, and my brother and I would say, "Mom, it's so hot this summer. Do we have to go to church today?" And Mom would say, "Boys, it's hotter in hell, and we need to preach heaven and hell." All right, let's do the rest of the verses. 1 John 5:13. Now let's skip down to verse 16. "If anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, he shall ask and God will give him life to those whose sin is not leading to death. There is a sin leading to death. I do not say that he should ask request of this. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not leading to death." Now the question is, what does that mean? What is the sin leading to death? Well, I studied it a little here, and there are three basic interpretations. Some scholars think it means just some grievous sin. Others think it means the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, the unforgivable sin. The third option is it's just a total rejection of Christ for which there's no forgiveness. So which is it here? The answer is we don't know because it doesn't say. And I remember an old white hair pastor saying years ago, he said, "When I'm reading through the Bible and I come upon a difficult verse, I look at it, I study it, and then I tip my hat to it, walk around it, and move on." So this is one of those verses where you got to just tip your hat. But I want to encourage you, get what's called the ESV Study Bible. because at the bottom of every page, it has good notes to talk about these difficult verses and what they may or may not mean. The ESV, English Standard Version, Study Bible. Let's look at verse 18. We know that no one who is born of God keeps on sinning, but he who was born of God, Jesus, keeps him, the born-again Christian, and the evil one does not touch him. All right, true or false? We are saved by God's grace alone, not by our good works. Is that true or false? The answer is true. It's hallelujah, it's true. You don't want to say, I'm saved by God's grace and my good works, because then you'll never know if you have enough good works to be saved. You want to maintain, we're saved by God's grace alone, not by our good works. True. But this verse is also true. You cannot continually live in impenitent sin and be saved. I went to a conference once and the pastor made a great point. He said, we are saved by grace alone. Hallelujah. True. But grace never is alone. It always changes your life. And if you're living a life of impenitent sin and saying you're saved by grace, you haven't been saved by grace, because grace always changes you. I mean, for instance, can you commit the sin of having premarital sex, repent, and be saved? The answer is yes. Can you live in premarital sex and be saved? According to this verse, according to 1 Corinthians 6, 9, no. You can't live in sin and be saved. You can sin and repent and be saved, but you can't live in it. I mean, for instance, I was driving to my townhouse, and here's an open house in one of the units near me, and I thought, well, I'll just see what it's like. And I go in, and here's a young realtor, and just him and me, and we start to talk. He finds out I'm a preacher, and he says, well, my girlfriend and I just moved in together, and we decided now that we're living together, we're going to start going to church more often. And I said, where do you go to church? He goes to a good church, a biblical church. And so I had to bring it up if I was going to sleep that night. I said, well, you know, the Bible says sex outside of marriage is a sin, and you need to deal with that because your soul is at stake. And he looked at me, and it was kind of like deer in the headlights. It was like he had never heard this before. You know, listen, in our churches, even good churches, we need to bring up, you can't live in sin and be saved. That's the truth of this verse. I explain it this way. A man is walking down the street. He slips and he falls in a mud puddle. He gets up, brushes himself off. He keeps walking. He slips and he falls in another mud puddle. He gets up, brushes himself off. He keeps walking. That's a Christian. But here another man comes down the street. He slips and he falls in the mud puddle. He pitches his tent in the mud puddle. He lives the rest of his life in the mud puddle. No matter how much he says, I'm saved by grace, he's not. Because grace, to a degree anyway, always changes your life. Next verse, verse 19, 1 John 5:19. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding in order that we might know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, guard yourself from idols. Here's the last lesson. You have to fight till the day you die. Isn't it strange that John ends his letter by telling his readers, now don't go back to idolatry? What's that all about? Well, let me explain. If you lived in ancient Asia Minor, modern Turkey, there were idol temples everywhere. On the hill was the temple to Zeus. Down the street, the temple to Aphrodite. Around the corner, the temple to Mars. And often, there were prostitutes in the temple, and prostitution went on in idolatry. So it could be a pull. And remember, the people reading this letter from John would have been raised in idolatry. Then they got converted. And there was a pull to go back to the old way. And John says, don't do it. Fight. The Christian life is a fight. And I love the old hymns. Fight the good fight with all thy might. And another one, O Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end. Be thou forever near me, my master and my friend. I see the sights that dazzle around me and within. O Jesus, draw thou nearer and shield my soul from sin. It's hard to be a Christian. You have to fight, and you have to fight till you die. But then there's eternity, and that'll be fine. All right, that's the sermon. Let's review it. I, the Apostle John, write to you, Christians back then and today, who believe in, not about, who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know. You're not being arrogant. You just know you're saved because Christ died for you, that you may know that you have eternal life. Let me just close with this. We've been talking about assurance of salvation. My dad was a Catholic. He went to church every Sunday. My mom was a Lutheran. She took the kids to Lutheran church every Sunday. And then we came home and we didn't talk about God much. In fact, I don't remember having one talk with my dad about God. My dad died of a brain tumor at age 19, when I was 19. And a month after Dad died, a woman from Campus Crusade for Christ came to our church at a Bible study, explained to us how to lead a person to Christ. And I thought of my dad. And I probably had 10 or 15 dreams where Dad was on his deathbed. I'm about to say, Jesus died for your sins. And he always died on me before I could get it out. Terrible dreams. Well, that was when I was 19 years old. About 30 years later, I'm on vacation in Florida. And I think, I'm going to go visit my old Lutheran pastor, because he had retired now. He and his wife had a place in Florida. And this, even though Dad was Catholic, this Lutheran pastor visited my dad a lot when Dad was on his deathbed. And so he and his wife had me in their living room. And I thought, I'm going to ask. And I said, Pastor Schaff, do you think my dad knew the Lord? And he said, you know, I think he really did, which really comforted me. I come back to Minneapolis. I get a letter from the pastor's wife. Dear Tom, I listened to your conversation as you intently searched my husband's memory for faith about your father. She wrote me this very nice letter. But you know what I think the point was of her letter was? Don't do that to your children. Listen, mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, have you had the talk with your kids, with your grandkids? Do they know where you stand with Christ? Do they know if you die in a car accident that I know where mom went, I know where grandpa went? Listen, have regular, good, deep talks with your kids, with your grandkids. That is the main thing I want to leave you with, because 1 John 5:13, I write this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Make sure you talk to your kids so they can know too. Amen.
Welcome to the portion of the Pastor Study where we ask Pastor Brock questions regarding the Bible. Pastor Brock, our first question today, how do I share the gospel of Jesus Christ with my children?
Yeah, you know, I preached recently at a church and everybody got a little pamphlet called How Can We Know We'll Go to Heaven? You just get something like this and read it to your kids. And then just say, do you understand this? Let them have it. There's little tracts like this in cartoon form for children on how to make sure you go to heaven. And you can get these tracts. You go to Good News Tracts, T-R-A-C-T-S, goodnewstracts.org, or you go to the Christian bookstore and you buy a children's story Bible. Mm-hmm. Again, get lots of pictures because kids love those. And you just regularly read a Bible story to your kids. Make sure they understand it. But this really isn't hard. You know, just get some good biblical materials. Again, Good News Tracts, tracts.org. And you'll see lots of good tracts for kids and adults.
Okay. Are you saying, some writer wrote in, are you saying my daughter who is living with her boyfriend is not saved? I know she believes in Christ.
Well, she believes about Christ, but does she believe in Christ if she's living in sin? And 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11, fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, homosexuals, thieves, greedy, etc., will not inherit the kingdom of God. Such were some of you, Corinthians, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. All those sins are forgivable,
when you repent and come to Christ. If you're living in those sins, I don't think practicing fornicators, adulterers, homosexuals, thieves, if you're living in it, you're not saved. No, we're saved by grace alone, but again, it always changes your life to a degree anyway. Mm-hmm. We still sin after conversion, but we repent when we sin. We don't live in it.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah.
How do Muslims, Buddhists, and Hindus believe a person is saved?
You know, pretty much every religion except for Christianity is a do-it-yourself, good works religion. I get to heaven by trying hard enough, by being good, and then I go to heaven. Only Christianity says, nope, it's only by the grace of God, mm-hmm. by what Jesus did on the cross, we will be saved, which is why we sing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound that Saved a Wretch Like Me. You know, a Buddhist, a Hindu, a Muslim wouldn't sing that because they think they're getting saved because they're trying and they're good enough. It doesn't work that way.
It's just through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. If someone is not sure they are saved, does that mean they are not saved?
I think you can be genuinely saved and not have the assurance of your salvation. I wouldn't want to go back to that. Mm-hmm. I think I was like that before age 20. So I, you know, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. It doesn't say believe perfectly. So I think there are a lot of people that don't have the assurance that you really want, though. You don't want to live confused about this. Mm-hmm. Christianity went from being a drag to being a wonderful thing when I came to the assurance of my salvation. So, yeah.
Okay. Is it possible to think you are saved when you are not?
Yes, it is. Because Jesus said, many will say to me on the last day, Lord, Lord, opened up to us. Didn't we do all these great things in your name? Jesus says, I never knew you, you workers of lawlessness, depart from me. And these are people who thought they were saved, but because they were workers of lawlessness, like we just talked about, they never repented of their sin, even if God used them to do some good things. They're not going to heaven. They're mm-hmm. surprised on Judgment Day. So it's sad.
And we want to live a righteous life once we know Christ.
Yeah, we do. We're not saved by good works. We're saved for good works.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you have any questions that you would like to share?
Well, you know what? We've got about a minute left. And okay. Let me just say this to everybody. Everybody, you've been so gracious. People write me letters. Some people say they pray for this show every day. Wow.
Awesome.
And then we've had a lot of good contributions. And so our if you go to our website, pastorstudy.org, right there, you will see all the TV stations we're on now nationally because of God's provision through you. If God nudges you to support this program, you go to pastorstudy.org and you can donate online, or you'll see an address in a minute. You can mail us a check. But just thank you for your prayers. And mm-hmm. if you want to watch more shows like this, you can watch all of our shows for free at that website. So God bless you. See you again next time at The Pastor's Study.
Thank you for watching The Pastor's Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write The Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.